Hello, 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 and welcome to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queer Media. And I'm Luke Smith.
I'm Shade Nix.
And I'm Mauricio Olivares.
And I'm Wicked Wanda.
And this is a Wicked Wonder episode, one of our sex-based episodes. So if you are of sensitive hearing, it's more of a safety episode more than anything.
I find all of them are pretty safety-focused.
It's true. I told someone we did electroplay last month, and then they were like, oh, that's risky. And I'm like, you won't believe how much of a risk of a heart attack you can be from electrostim.
It's true.
Very, very informative.
Don't do it wrong.
Absolutely. Don't do it wrong. I think that's the rules to live by. So today's episode, we're looking at, hooking up in a safe way because it is Pride Month. Woo!
Yay!
Yeah! Happy Pride!
Yeah, boo! We're going to have a crazy month, a crazy summer in front of us. That's awesome.
It's true. Yeah. Here in the city of Ottawa, we've had a ton of festivals already. You actually were involved with Glow Fair.
Yes, we had Glow Fair, and it turned out to actually be a lot of fun. I think next year, now that we really recognize what a great opportunity to have fun out on the streets of Bank Street, I think you'll see even next year it's just going to double in size because people really were like, wow, this is...
It was a great time.
It was fun.
And people loved it. They were just coming up to us, with questions and, like, pictures.
For folks who aren't in the Ottawa area, Glow Fair was like an outdoor light and art almost festival.
To be perfectly honest, it's been a little bit of an ambiguous event up until this year, but I decided next year we'll take care of our own block and we'll have our own festivities on our block, and then maybe we'll have a glow off.
I like the sound of that already. Now, for folks in Toronto, this is Pride Week in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great time. A lot of stuff happening.
A million people at least are going to be there.
It's going to be insane. Wow. And with Pride parades comes a little bit of... risky behavior.
Well, you got to watch the pride because what happens with the GLTBQ community when we have a pride and we come out and celebrate these times, we also celebrate with the leather people who are also identified in that GLTBQ somewhere leather group.
My people.
Our people. Yeah. We have our people.
Yeah.
And so our people are being a little bit more... popular nowadays, even with this 50 Shades thing. So BDSM is kind of on the forefront, and I'm sure Pride will have many events that are going to be kink-oriented this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I know having attended a couple of different Prides around the country, there's a sense of celebration, a sense of empowerment,
yes.
And, you kind of let loose a few of your inhibitions, and we're here as a bit of a sage warning around when you lose those inhibitions, some of the risks that really need to be navigated.
Absolutely. In coming out to meet people in whether it be in a bar or online or where they're going to meet people. One thing is how to meet people in a speed dating or something like that, but when you're involved in kink or BDSM, negotiating how or kind of trying to figure out how to weave your way through meeting people is a little bit more challenging.
Or just any kind of hooking up, really.
Hooking up, but it's a little tougher when you're also negotiating your particular kink.
For sure.
So we're going to look at, why people hook up, particularly in a pride environment. Then we're going to look at, a lot of the safety issues you need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll look at specifically navigating that in a kink environment. So
Fair enough.
It's going to be a fun show. So, Mauricio, why do you think people hook up?
Well, I mean, it's part of our nature, of course, right? We are social beings that look for physical contact and emotional contact. And I think it's part of our very own structure and physiology, right? And, you know, I think just the problem is now that we hook up, we cannot ask people not to hook up. Mm-hmm. I think the important thing without judgments is just saying this is normal behavior. We all do it. We don't need a stigmas or labels around it. It's more about how do we look after ourselves and make sure that we minimize the risks, just like life, right? Everything has risk in life. So let's just try to minimize those risks, right?
Exactly. But it's just like you were saying, it's like it's just like eating and sleeping. Like, you know, sex is so much a part of our life. And every time you step out the door, you're taking a risk.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So many cases we've seen that people find, you know, different outputs to be able to make those connections. Absolutely. Going to a bar, going to a party, speed dating, like Wanda was mentioning. Mm-hmm. But now with the increasing growth of online apps and hookup sites, you know, this interaction has become a lot larger. And, you know, part of that is us trying to find that connection, right? Sexual, emotional, physical, with the right person. And I think that feeds all this movement, right, that is happening with this liberation. We're kind of living like a new liberation, sexual liberation age, right?
And it's literally at your fingertips now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, because there's a lot of ways to meet people nowadays. And being safe doing so is it's tough, because there's a lot of dating sites out there, and it depends what you're looking for. Maybe you are just looking for a physical hookup, or maybe you are looking for an emotional hookup, and are those the same places?
I think there's a lot to consider. I mean, there's definitely been times when I myself have been feeling rather sad and alone.
Oh, I thought you were going to say adventurous.
It's definitely,
I'm reading your face wrong. Never mind.
But, well, actually, A, B, C, and D. There is. I have had a lot of the feels in my lifetime so far. But you know, there's been times when, you know, speaking from personal experience, when, you know, hooking up with somebody is possibly the most self-destructive thing that I could be doing at that time.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important to recognize, you know. Yeah, it's fun to kind of meet somebody and have that piece of intimacy, you know, but there needs to be a recognition of some of the dangers there. I interviewed Sam Smith, who wrote his autobiography recently, and he'd had sex with over 600 men. Mm-hmm. And he said that a lot of what he was doing it for was just to have that tiny bit of intimacy with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, in terms of long term, he didn't get anything out of it.
No.
That's often the case,
no.
Yeah.
I had a very, very promiscuous youth. Very promiscuous.
I find that very hard to believe.
What? Highly promiscuous, until I came to the point where I was like, what the heck is this? You know, this is just not really bringing back anything. So, you know, that's where I decided to just to tie somebody up so I could keep them. No, I'm just joking.
When in doubt, rope and handcuffs. That's what I say.
Yeah. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, no, there is definitely an issue there if you're looking to.
If you're going through the process of trying to meet up with somebody, you know, really talk about it. Talk about, you know, what do you want out of this experience? You know, personally, what is it going to achieve for you? And then talk to them and say, you know, what do they want out of it? Because there's been occasions where I've met up with somebody and they're expecting way more out of it than
or way less, yeah.
Or way less, yeah. No, it's important that everybody is on the same page.
Absolutely, honesty, and honesty with yourself, which is probably the hardest part. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes maybe you just do want to, you know, hook up with somebody and you really don't want to talk about tomorrow. And that's, you know, if that's where your headspace is and it doesn't leave you in a bad space, then, you know, own that. But if, you know, leaving somebody and hurting their feelings, mm-hmm. it's not very nice, or finding yourself with a stalker.
I have a friend who, and I shan't say his name, but he met this guy at a club and then said, oh, I just want to, you know, go home and watch a movie. And the guy's like, oh, watch a movie. I'm down to watch a movie. Mm-hmm. And my friend, God bless him, actually just wanted to sit and watch a movie. But that was not communicated very well. Right. And then something got to me recently, and this drives me up the wazoo, and it's cuddling.
You don't have a wazoo.
I know, but whatever.
Yes, he does. It's okay. You can call it that if you like.
It's you know, when they say, oh, I'm just looking for somebody to cuddle. And I was like, oh, that's adorable.
Get a stuffed animal.
That is not what they meant. No. They have co-opted that term, and it angers me.
Mauricio, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, well, actually, it's interesting. You know, I had the opportunity to work with a company back in the West Coast where basically they work on social networking. That's how it's called. But really, it's more about hooking up over the phone. It's a very large company. I'm not going to bring up the names right now. But basically, we did a lot of research with them, and we found out that people will state a very different let's say, what they were looking for versus what actually they want. Like, the expectations are different. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do because of the stigmas, right? So if I go out there, for example, a girl today goes to a bar and comes to a guy and says, I just want to have a one-night stand, the guy immediately will put a label on her, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of girls, that's why, you know, they will say, no, I'm looking for a date. When in reality, the intention is different, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the same thing happens with, you know, it doesn't happen if you're gay or straight.
Exactly.
Like, we all have those things where we might say, oh, no, I just want to cuddle because I don't want him to think I'm a slut. Right?
Exactly.
Am I allowed to say slut on radio?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
But right. that is the stigma that people fear,
That's right.
It's true.
But that's kind of what we fight all the time, isn't it, Shade?
Yes.
Is that, you know what, we should be able to say exactly what we want and not have a stigma.
And we should have to be able to be sexual beings and not have to be apologetic for it.
Absolutely.
And saying, yes,
and
I do want to have sex with this person tonight. That doesn't make me...
That doesn't make me a slut. But maybe I do just want to hug somebody. And that's okay, too. You know,
like, which is why, even in those situations, you still need a lot of communication ahead of time.
Yes.
Really establish exactly what it is you're planning on doing that.
And I'm glad you bring it up, because one of the things we brought up lately with Luke and the police liaison committee is we had cases where people will... they decide to hook up online on an app. And I'm glad that Wanda's here, because she can help us a little bit with that topic. And, you know, someone will say, I'm into BDSM, but no, a light BDSM, right?
Yeah, but what does that mean?
But the other person doesn't know, is not educated about it, right? Yeah. So they say, okay, sure, I'll try, you know, I'll be open-minded, I'm going to try something new. They show up at their footstep, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they come in. And all of a sudden, the other person realizes, I'm not into this at all, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other person does not understand how to respect the boundaries of the person who doesn't know what it's about.
We're going to get into that in some more detail in just a second. We're playing an American band, and I apologize for playing non-Canadian music.
That's okay. We like our friends in the States.
Absolutely. And this is A Great Big World with a fantastic song, Everyone is Gay.
Gay. You don't pretend that you're straight. You could be who you are any day of the week. You are unlike the others, so strong and unique. We're all with you. If you're straight, well, that's great. You can help procreate and make gay little babies for the whole human race. Make a world we can live in where the one who you love's not an issue. Gay. If you're straight, well, that's great. If you fall in between, that's the best way to be. You got so many options. Every fish in the sea wants to kiss you.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queer Media. And we're coming at you from the capital. And this is a great, 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 great time because it is Pride Month.
Exactly.
And that's a great song. Everyone is gay. And if you're straight, that's okay because you can help procreate. And I think
Absolutely.
That's an amazing line. So we're actually being joined by Sebastian.
Yay, Sebastian.
He's plugging on his earphones right now.
Yeah, so
plugging
Sebastian
in his earphones.
Here.
He looks so all dapper.
He does look very dapper.
He does. He always looks so dapper, like very beatnik dapper.
Yeah. So, yes. So just to bring Sebastian up to speed, we were just talking about some of the reasons why somebody might hook up and how important it is to, for example, if you're inviting somebody over to watch a movie, you have to clearly state that you're watching a movie.
Or a sandwich.
This is actually a relevant story.
Yes, it is.
we told it before the break.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes.
And then when we came to the break, Maurizio was saying that you were giving the example of hooking up online where somebody says they're into a bit of BDSM, and then you arrive, and there's a gimp mask, and whips, and chains, and a cage. And, you know, how do you navigate that?
I thought BDSM
don't walk
was
through the
just,
door.
Seriously. Well, especially, you know, when someone says I'm into rough play, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, for example, for me, rough play could be just spanking me once or twice, right? Mm-hmm. But for someone else, rough is like, I'm going to tie you up, you know, I'm going to, like, whip you, right? And I'm going to call you names, for example, right?
Yeah.
So, and the problem is that the other person for them is a traumatic experience instead of a pleasant one, right?
To me, the academic inside me just sits and thinks, like, whenever I see anything like that, I'm like, can we establish definitions? Like, what to you is mild and what to you is rough? And what to you is play? Like, just really, before you get in the door, let's just define our terms.
So meeting somewhere beforehand, to me, is a necessity. In BDSM play, anytime you're going to play with somebody, you cannot hook up with them the first time you meet them. It just is not.
No, never.
It's just not something that is recommended by anybody. But again, if you're not reading into things and you're not doing your study, you could be in for a really bad shock there. Mm-hmm. So, no, you really want to meet somebody in a safe spot and
and
to make sure you have people that know who you're with. Meet
and know
those
people,
yeah, and who you're with, and meet those people ahead of time. So,
in and not only that, let the person who you're meeting know that someone else knows where you are.
Mm. I always recommend meeting at a munch or something like that. Or if you are going to meet somebody with potential BDSM play, it becomes like an interview. So you actually have a full length of questions about understanding their perimeters and understanding how they play. And
we're not talking 50 Shades of Grey sat across a lounge table.
No, we're talking people that go from, you know, a spank and a tickle, meaning a feather, to, you know, onwards. And so, you know, what we've heard here, one person's light is not necessarily somebody else. So
it made me think of salsa, because you were saying, like, defining mild and medium. And I'm like, I always find mild salsa incredibly bland.
It is bland. I understand bland.
That's why they have the Scoville scale.
Yeah, but the BDSM world is really like, if you were supposed to hook up with somebody and play, it only becomes really awesome play after you're seriously intimate with that person. And I don't mean sexually intimate. I mean understanding that human being, what makes them tick, and what's going to make them hit ground zero. Like, you've got way too many issues that people have potentially going into this sort of play, that, you know, some people use BDSM to work out some traumas and issues in their life, and you want to know what you're playing with before you go there. So, you know, anybody.
There's a fly playing around.
Yeah.
You know, if you're navigating that in like a pride scenario, you know, 1 million people crowded into Church Street, you know, and you meet somebody on the Grindor, and you wanna take it to another level. How do you navigate that?
I would say bring them to a club first.
Okay.
A club,
like,
would be,
or something,
yeah,
like that,
yeah, right? Someplace that caters to the leather lifestyle, the BDSM lifestyle, so that you're in public. Be seen with those people in public. Mm. Make sure you know people that see you with those people in public. And most people that are in the leather world, if they are coming to Pride, they're well-known people. Most of those people that walk down the street and you're going to see them along the road, and they're well-dressed and they're in their nice leather kink attire, they're part of a community and somebody knows them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What do you think, Sebastian, about navigating a hookup in a busy Pride environment?
Well, I'm sort of biased against this. I've only done it twice, and the second time was to remind myself why the first one is terrible.
That's why I
eat. Like, you know that, right?
Well, no, I know that. I know. It's just, well, okay, so for me to have sex with somebody within the first 6 hours of having met them, I've done that multiple times, but meeting them online and then just meeting somewhere and then hooking up, that doesn't work out for me quite the same as meeting somebody organically and being like, hey, do you want to go somewhere? I've done that a lot of times, but that's because I wasn't going out to hook up. I went out, I met somebody who the hookup was available and we did it and it turned out really well, but that's because there was sort of an emotional connection there. I get nothing out of plain old hookups. I've discovered recently that I kind of have a stereotypical female sexuality where I'm more into the situation than I am into the guy.
Absolutely.
And so, like, if
and that's valid. Yeah.
However, I think I could interject that, like, in the BDSM world, we generally don't, like, it's a little different. It's a little different to navigate because meeting somebody you want to play with is not necessarily meeting someone you want to go home and have sex with. Mm-hmm. So you have to be really, like, there's a big variance between these potential hookups of, do I just want to get, excuse my expression, do I want to get laid? And that's one scenario. But BDSM, usually when somebody wants to meet, they're kind of like, so are you into puppy play? Because I'm looking for a master, or I'm looking for this.
And a lot of it doesn't involve sex.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of it doesn't go there. So, I mean, if you're not hooking up for someone specifically to go and have, like, really heavy kink, let's say, together, as opposed to like a BDSM play, you might find yourself not in as big a danger as you think, per se, because there's a lot of parties going on. It's going home with somebody alone that you have to watch, right?
We'll be talking about those dangers, and Mauricio will be speaking to that in just a second. Next up, we have a band out of Montreal called MassYSA, and this is their song, Why. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queer Media.
Back before the morning light, will you hate this town? Cause the boys don't fight. Thank you. I said, why that can't be true?
Hello and welcome back to Ottawa's Queer Media. We're coming at you from the capital, and this is the Velvet Studio.
Ooh, Ottawa's Queer Media.
Yeah, all of it.
Okay.
Well, I like to think that Daily Extra is Toronto's, so it's
that's fair.
Yeah, so it's on our website. It's been on our website since like we renovated it like half a year ago.
I probably questioned you then as well.
It's probably true. It's not a bad tagline, eh? I kind of like the idea of being called Ottawa's Queen Media. Anyway, we just listened to MAS YSA or Mass YSA. They're a LGBTQ band from Montreal, and that was their song Why. I actually heard about this song from Gay is Groovy from the community station that broadcasts in Windsor and into Detroit. A great show. Check them out online. Now, we were discussing community, like safety around hookups. Now, Mauricio, you brought some of these issues to the attention of the GLBT Liaison Committee in Ottawa. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Absolutely. Well, what we found is many members, friends, people we know in the community were highly embarrassed about situations they've lived through and actually traumatized by some of them, actually sexual abuse cases. And the problem is that in many cases, people do not want to report them to the police because, you know, they're ashamed. First of all, someone who's gone through abuse, right, feel ashamed, feel embarrassed. You know, they don't want to come forward with these cases to the authorities. They don't even know if they can go to a hospital, right, because that might have repercussions, right? So people were, you know, sharing their stories in the community in a very underground basis, let's call it that way, right? And some of the stories we heard were quite alarming, right? We identified at least three types of abuse that we find that are quite common. The first one you probably heard of is people putting substances in someone else's drink in the bar. Yeah. It's actually quite common, more common than people think. Yeah. It's something that's been going on for a long time for sure. But now we're seeing cases, for example, where people hook up online, and sometimes the people who commit these crimes actually feel protected behind the anonymity of online apps or websites, right? Because they're not giving their real name, you know, they don't even put their real picture or their face, right?
Well, and a lot of predators depend on that.
Exactly, that's right. So, and they take advantage of the fact that people who use anonymous websites, well, they want to remain anonymous, right? So they feel empowered by this, you know, underground basis, right? And the third one is where there's substance abuse involvement, right? Mm-hmm. Where people feel like because there's substance involved, you know, it's a free ticket to do whatever you like, right? Mm-hmm. So those are three cases that we've seen very often, and we brought it up to the police liaison because we're trying to figure out how to deal with these cases, right? We can't tell people, you know, after you live a very traumatic situation, oh no, you need to stand up and do this, you know, you need to go forward
because that's another trauma.
Absolutely.
You have to relive all over again.
Mm-hmm. Many of the people, you know, might be government employees or you know, might have careers that may be heavily damaged, right? You know, by coming forward and saying, yeah, you know, I hook up with a stranger at 2 a.m., you know. And this person raped me, you know, and there was no condom involved, right? Mm-hmm. And immediately there's a stigma. And so the victim actually gets stigmatized twice, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to deal with a campaign right now in the community. And several members like me have come forward and say, well, let's put something together where we're going to be able to talk about prevention, how you can minimize those risks. Be realistic about the situation. You know, this is going to happen, but we're going to make sure that you know how to minimize those risks. And at the same time, what to do if this happens to you, right? Know that you're not alone. There are a lot of resources that you can come forward. What happens with each one of those resources, meaning that you don't have to go to the police. If you don't, you know, you're scared that this is going to be made public, it doesn't. It's not the case. There are actually many resources that can remain anonymous and actually can be quite a hand reach, right? At the same time, people, we do want to stress out that there's people who are very courageous and actually have stepped forward and, you know, report those cases. And really, we need to put a stop to those predators, like you're saying, right?
Absolutely.
We cannot allow the situation to continue any forward. But we know and recognize that not everyone's in the capacity to do so, right? So we want to respect that. But at the same time, those who are able and capable to do it, we really are asking to come forward because unless we actually put a stop to these people, they're going to continue committing these cases and hiding behind anonymity, right?
Predators have been there since the beginning of time. So as a child, we were told to be quiet, not tell about uncle. Don't say that about uncle. That's not nice. So nowadays, you know, thank goodness things have come around so we recognize that these people are there. And they are people in authority positions many times. And the people being taken advantage of are often addicts, often people who have less ability to stand up for themselves, and just young people who really are innocent and haven't had to negotiate their way through meeting people yet. And you know, you come from a small town into a large city, you could be taken advantage of. I mean, there's all sorts of things that put us certain people out as a
education is definitely a major part
absolutely.
Of this, though, because I've known a few people who for sure have been through at least a couple different types of the situations that Maurizio explained, where they've been sexually assaulted in multiple ways. And when I sit down and speak to them, they won't even admit that they were raped because there's this understanding. And granted, this is a general problem in North America, that if you were not held down and aggressed, then it's not rape. It's just you made a bad decision and someone had sex with you.
Look, right. Staying quiet, going through something, waiting for it to be over is the same thing as...
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people won't admit to it because then they're afraid that someone's saying, well, what is it? What did you do about it then? Mm-hmm. You know, like you're responsible because you didn't do anything about it.
It's important to have these conversations. I mean, in the UK, people have been starting to talk about child abuse. And then in the last year, they've seen reported cases of child abuse triple. You know, that's how much of an impact having these conversations are.
Absolutely. And like what you're saying, Luke, is very important because we're trying, part of this campaign that we're trying to launch in the community is co-responsibility. So like you said, for example, since these campaigns are being made aware of society, and we're starting to take an active role, right? If I go to the bar and I see someone's putting something on someone's drink, I'm going to take an active role and know what to
absolutely.
Do, how to stop that, right? Same thing, if I, you know, I went to this guy's house and he had child pornography, I'm going to go out and tell the police, right? We got to stop this don't ask, don't tell kind of like situation, right?
Absolutely.
And especially when abuse comes to that, right? Like we cannot continue to protect the bullies that are taking advantage of the weak, especially like one I mentioned, people who suffer addiction. If I see that someone is taking someone in a bar who is completely passed out, you know, or is not able to have consent anymore, right, because mm-hmm. they're intoxicated, mm-hmm. that person is potentially committing a crime. And mm-hmm. I need to be able to take a role in stopping that situation from happening, right?
Absolutely.
There's lots of ways where, you know, these things kind of unfold. We were discussing in the hallway earlier, going back to the anonymity in the Grindr apps, and you mentioned the age consideration. You know, a lot of people are aware that if somebody is below the age of 16 and they send you images on apps, then you're in possession of child pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something to be aware of. And then these apps, there's a lot of images being shared. Here in the city of Ottawa, we recently had a case where 12 local men had all of their explicit images uploaded to a website. Thankfully, that website has now been taken down and the user was reported. But, you know, that's revenge porn. That's, you know, sharing explicit images. You know, there are laws against this behavior.
Absolutely.
It is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Well, everything here is wrapped up in another conversation as well. So, for example, to do with substance abuse, for example, there's an entire dialogue there about the relationship between the community and substance abuse. Because I know a few people who actually say they drink to the state where they get to that point because that's the only time where they are comfortable enough to actually have sex with someone.
And that's really sad. That's a serious issue that's ongoing in every community.
And then the online stuff, a lot of people don't realize how easy it is to jack the airwaves. So we know, mm-hmm. you know, about certain government agencies that may or may not be listening into what mm-hmm. you're doing, mm-hmm. and the whole thing on John Oliver about a month ago where the government has access to your dick pics. Well, anybody who knows what they're doing, who's a good hacker with good technology, they can lift your stuff as well, because chances are you're on a Wi-Fi and you're sharing those images.
There's a whole lot to do with cyber safety, like having a firewall and antivirus just for that purpose.
There's nothing in the community that's not isolated from another complicated conversation.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, on our kind of, let's call it our BDSM or kink site that it's called FetLife, and FetLife is kind of like Facebook for kinksters. It's also a great opportunity to be something called, we call them a Google Dom or Google subs. These people are like personas, and they are nothing more than a persona. And somebody's shoes on. And anyways, what we did in the city of Ottawa is we do have some community leaders that took it upon themselves with us. And we have a list of people that are called unsafe players. Hmm. And we have taken an active role in putting those people's IDs right on a list. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think...
That's great. Now, Mauricio, this brings it back to the active role that you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, you know, something very important, sir, that you were mentioning is that I need to be aware of the potential repercussions of what I'm doing, right? In this case, for example, many of the people that we talk to, right, they say, well, I can't come forward because I don't want my boss to find out that, you know, I brought this guy at 3 a.m., you know, and maybe there was cocaine involved, right? Mm-hmm. Because that might actually jeopardize my career and my job, right? So I don't want this to go to a trial. I don't want to have to testify against this person, right? But we have to be aware, like every time we're opening the door to have someone into our intimacy, right, that I am going to be comfortable if whatever is happening in the bedroom, it comes public. I'm going to be comfortable to defend myself and say, yes, this happened. And you know what? I'm still standing up for myself, right? Because if you have a problem doing something that you're not comfortable with others finding out, you're going to potentially be in risk of being blackmailed. You're potentially being in risk of being harassed and obviously abused in many ways, right? So we all want to keep our privacy to our own bedroom, our own house for sure, but we have to be aware that things can come out. So I won't do things that I'm going to regret later, right?
When you're playing with the kink community, though, and you're playing heavily in BDSM, every time you take a step that's a little deeper, which many people do, some people stop at a certain point, they're like, that's that, and that's as comfortable, and that's, I don't want to go any further. But often this is just another door to open. Mm-hmm. So every time you do something, I mean, daytime programming, but what if your kink is that you like to be urinated on, or you like to, can you really, really admit that to anybody openly? A lot of people will never do that. Mm-hmm. That's the sad part, because
we're going to jump to a song. This was a this is George Michael, sadly also not Canadian, but this is Careless Whisper, because we thought it would be appropriate.
Ooh, Careless Whisper.
Wait, isn't
what?
That...
No, Fast Love.
Fast Love.
Fast Love is about hookups.
Okay, sorry. We're going to switch to Katie Lang's... We're playing Katie Lang's Sexuality, and then we'll play out with George Michael's Fast Love. I totally thought it was Careless Whisper. I am paying no attention.
No, I posted it in Threadly.
We'll be back in just a minute on the Velvet Studio.
I held you for too long. Yes.
and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's queer media. We're coming at you from the capital. And right now we're talking about hookups and safely navigating a hookup. You know, generally speaking, we're talking about online. But something really struck me a little earlier when you were talking, Mauricio, when you mentioned that substances being put into people's drinks was common. Are we talking like once a week, twice a week? Like what's... You know, this is a huge concern for me.
Well, I mean, tell you the truth, I'm not outside of the bars with serving people, right, and trying to ask them, right, if they were. So we don't know. The problem is that we know of a few cases. The problem is that majority, like probably more than 60% of the cases are never reported, right? So, but we know by talking to our community members that this happens extremely, extremely often, right? Mm-hmm. Again, is the stigma, is the fear, is the embarrassment of not coming forward, right? But one of the cases, I mean, I've been, for example, myself at the bar, and that's something we were chatting right now on the break, is that we're at the bar and we see someone highly, highly intoxicated, right? And we see someone taking advantage of that situation, taking them home, right? And we're trying to like really stress a lot about co-responsibility in the community and saying, okay, first of all, if I see someone, I may want to get laid. That person really attracts me. But you know what? He's highly intoxicated. He's legally is not able to give consent, right? Yeah. If I take him home, I'm actually not just, you know, stepping on their liberties, right, their rights. I'm actually potentially putting myself in risk of being called a sexual offender, right?
Or kidnap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But even if that person who's intoxicated is throwing themselves at you as well, like, you know, they may not have any memory of this later, so you still have to take responsibility in knowing when you need to say, no, I can't sleep with you, you're too, you know, drunk or stoned or whatever.
Mm. And then when we're going back from hooking up to actual BDSM, which is, I'm not sure if we're kind of, if we're kind of trying to negotiate our way through hooking up for sexual interest or hooking up for kink interest. So, I mean, sometimes we want to hook up with somebody in that we want to dress up and role play with, or we want to go and do these sorts of parties with. Well, generally, that's a pretty good place to start by bringing somebody to an event and a party and getting to know them. Then you get to know the other kink people in the community, and it has a very core, solid group of people that watch over each other. We actually have people that consider themselves, that will be trained as dungeon monitors and people that assess safety in BDSM play. And often, those people are at those events, and that's their role, is to take an active interest to make sure that alcohol and drugs are not mixed with spankings and exactly, and potential tools that could damage somebody.
Well, that's exactly the point, right? Like, people may pretend or have an open mind when they are intoxicated, but not necessarily that means that they're crossing their inhibitions. Maybe they're stepping on boundaries they actually don't, you know, when they're sober, they don't want to go to, right? Mm-hmm. And going back to your point, Luke, when you set up all the bars, right? So one advice that we ask people to look after is never accept a drink from a stranger. Of course, that's probably something that our mothers told us when we were like 16, right? But at the same time, you know, you have to make sure you keep your eyes on your drinks all night. You should never leave. Even if you're going to a washroom, bring your drink with yourself. Even if you trust your friend, the problem is your friend might start hooking up with someone, right? Or flirting with someone.
Yeah, they may not pay attention.
Pay attention, right? And that's all it takes. It takes just a second for the person, because the predator, like you mentioned, you know, is very good at what they do. They do this like very regularly, right?
Yeah.
So they know how. They know how to distract you. So very, very careful when you're drinking. Of course, if because people have, it's their choice if they're doing other substances, mm-hmm. we highly recommend, you know, that you do it only with people that know, you know, you very well, right? Don't put yourself at risk in public places, you know? So unfortunately, people are going to do these things. So we can't tell people don't do it. It's much like asking people that everyone must wear a condom. That is ridiculous. We cannot force people to do something, right? But we can tell them how to protect themselves and how to minimize the risk, right?
I think what we're seeing here is a really interesting model actually in the kink community, which you were mentioning earlier, you know, like these dungeon monitors. And then, you know, that's very much the idea of co-responsibility that you're advocating more broadly here, Mauricio. The idea that somebody is there keeping an eye on things, you know, making sure that there is consent happening. Mm-hmm. You know, perhaps it's time that as a community we step up and take a bit of ownership about this.
Yeah, and the BDSM community is actually a very good model because it's so interesting. There's so many forums that you can join in the BDSM community, and the focus on safety is wonderful. Like every network that I look at, there's such a strong emphasis on safe, sane, and consensual. Asking a lot of questions, knowing your own, if you have any health issues. Like there's just so many points that you must study before.
Well, they learned that as a result of a trial by fire, because in the 80s and 90s, people were regularly getting imprisoned for going too far.
Yeah,
and so it sort of became a part of the culture. This idea of knowledge sharing and how do you protect yourself from your own poor decisions to a small degree as well?
I don't make poor decisions.
Baby steps. Take baby steps.
You know, we call you Mr. Beltbuckle, right?
Or the shotgun approach.
I think we all had a bad idea bear popping up once in a while, right, in our lives and making bad advices, right? But definitely, like, I think the idea is that we can minimize the risks, right, of living out there. Sex is about having fun. It's about enjoying life, just as much as eating and sleeping and many other fantastic things that our bodies allow us to have, right? But the important thing is that we make sure that we're doing it for the right reasons, first of all, right? Which goes back to your point, look, you know, why are we having sex? Am I just looking for company? Am I actually looking for intimacy? Understand ourselves well, and then also be sure that we look after ourselves and others, right? Because we don't want things happen to us. Right. Why should we allow it to happen to others,
that's
right?
No, mm-hmm. No, that's really that's good advice, because we do have the ability to own our sexuality. That's really where I started a store from years ago. Wicked Wonders was set up for people that, I specifically have a kink in BDSM community that works with me, because I saw a lot of shame and a lot of people that didn't want to talk about what their thing was all about and what turned them on. And I really was saddened by the amount of people that don't own themselves and don't own their own sexuality and their own, and enjoy it and do it safely and respect other people along the way, and nobody gets hurt then, unless that's what you're looking for.
And what you're saying is actually really good, Wanda, because a lot of people have to, like you mentioned before, have to go back to substance abuse to be able to enjoy themselves.
Oh, it's so sad.
I mean, I was brought in a very extreme religious context, right?
Yes.
And I had terrible feelings about my sexuality until I was like, 30. So absolutely, you're totally right. You know, it's about opening ourselves up, realizing that life is beautiful, right? That we can enjoy this in a safely manner with respect for ourselves,
for sure.
And others, right?
Yeah, owning your own self and realizing that there's nothing wrong. Whatever it is you feel, as long as it's, long as you're working, you're playing, or you're involved with somebody who's of a legal age and who is safe,
capacity.
Sane, consensual, and has the ability to make decisions for themselves, then you know what? We really don't have a place in each other's bedrooms that way. We really don't.
I think it's worth mentioning as well that it's important to have informed consent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important distinction.
That's a great, that's
informed consent also relates to the law. For example, we're talking about the criminalization of non-disclosure, which has included cases of syphilis. So if you have any sexually transmitted or bloodborne infection, there's a responsibility on all parties involved.
Why don't you define what informed consent is first?
Well, I actually have a waiver that I can't read through right now because I don't have it with me. But I do have a waiver that says to people, before we engage in any sort of play or before you come into one of these events, that understanding you are over 18, you're this, you're that, and we go through a health questionnaire. And if anybody has a communicable disease or infection, we don't we allow everybody in, but we all have a right to know where we're at, who we're playing with. Mm-hmm. My ex-partner or my ex-BDSM partner was HIV positive, and people didn't quite understand how come I play with somebody who's HIV positive, and they didn't quite get that. If you know what you're dealing with, you can protect yourself. There's nothing, it's just, it's sad that people don't quite get it. But there is a way to negotiate your way through. And even sitting down talking in a world of liability, Canada is not quite there yet, but the state sure is. And I'm certain it's coming this way. And to actually inform consent, super important today and more so for the future. You're going to have to protect yourself.
If I may just add to that very quickly, Wanda, because I love what you're saying. I myself, I am HIV positive. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to many friends of mine who are also positive, who mm-hmm. unfortunately have suffered a lot of discrimination for this matter, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that gets them closer to substance abuse at the same time, because mm-hmm. it comes along with depression, right?
Absolutely.
And stigma.
Absolutely.
And like you said, and I believe Sebastian also mentioned it, education, right? It's so, so mm-hmm. important to be educated. You know, the fact that we are HIV positive doesn't mean that we're going around infecting people or anything like that. Yeah. It doesn't mean that we cannot have any kind of intimacy.
That's right.
My partner, you know, is HIV negative, and we take all the precautions. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, we talk to the doctor and still are capable of having a sexual relationship that is safe, mm-hmm. you know, for
Absolutely.
Both and enjoy
mm-hmm.
it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily means that, you know, you're going to put yourself in risk all the time. Like we said, there are many ways. In fact, there's many people who are not treated, who don't even get tested, right?
Right.
There are far more dangerous or riskier. Right?
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
You're better to treat everybody as though, unless we are all tested and we're going to be monogamous and everything, let's all just pretend we're all just as able to...
I like how you mentioned the importance of education. If you are in the city of Ottawa, don't forget that there are workshop opportunities on the many of these topics available at Wicked Wonders, and there's a couple over at Venus Envy. There's a great event coming up in Ottawa.
Yes, actually, I was going to mention, go to Wicked Wonders. There's great workshops, great toys, and there's a beautiful gallery, sensorium gallery, and also my friend Crystal Balser is opening up her tattoo shop inside of Wicked Wanda's. There's a grand opening tattoo flash sale July 10th, 11th, and 12th. All the tattoos are between $40 and $60. And what's interesting about this is that this is Ottawa's first and only complete vegan tattoo service.
Wow.
So this is not just limited to just the ink. The soaps, the tape, the table, the chairs, everything involved in the service is 100% vegan, and it's the first and only of its kind. So 327 Bank Street inside Wicked Wanda's. You can also visit Crystal's page on Facebook, Crystal Balser Tattoo Artist.
Mm-hmm.
She has beautiful, beautiful pictures of her work. It's beautiful. Please check it out. I can't wait to get mine.
And if you're in Toronto, have a great, great, great weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Plenty going on in the city of Toronto. And likewise to our other listeners around the country, wishing you all the best of luck in this Pride weekend. And don't forget, if you are hooking up, safe, sane, and consensual, be seen. Let people know where you are.
Be safe, happy, and healthy.
Yes.
I've been Luke Smith.
Wicked Wanda.
Shade Nix.
Sebastian.
And Mauricio Olivares.
Yes.
And this has been the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queer Media. We're playing out with another Canadian, and this is Ostra with the song Lose It, and we'll be back next week on...
Happy Pride!
Happy Pride! Visit our website.